Welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a place where your physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being are all that matter. So put your feet up, relax, and enjoy today's show. Today we're going to talk about developing your supernatural awareness. And we have with us Frederick Woodard. He is Dr. Frederick Woodard, a clinical psychologist and certified hypnotherapist who conducts original research on the supernatural, paranormal, hypnosis, and psychotherapy. His research stems from his dissatisfaction with general psychological explanations of hypnosis and altered states, which have not reflected his own personal and clinical experience. Today we're going to be talking about his book, Developing Your Supernatural Awareness. Okay, and this is going to be a lot of fun because we're going to talk about some really crazy stuff. Welcome, Frederick. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's going to be fun. Okay, so you're trained in a very traditional sense, okay, but now you're exploring into this area of supernatural awareness. What sparked this in you?
I think I've always been interested in it since I've heard stories people told me that make sense, like they really happened, or they had an inner experience and then something external happened that was the very thing they experienced inside. Or the other thing that I've learned as a psychologist is that people are transformed by their experience. It transforms them. So the transformation is a sign that something happened
Interesting.
when it's genuine.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing this show a very long time, over 12 years. I've interviewed over 500 people, and many of them were people who are either somehow associated with paranormal, have had near-death experiences, were mediums, were psychics, so forth and so on, or people who had done research, as you have. And there these things I hear over and over and over again. Okay, so there's no doubt in my mind. And prior to me doing this show, I used to read every book I would ever read. Was about mediums or crossing over or what death was like or spiritual experiences. And so I'm very much in tune with it, and I live my life as if that is an absolute. That's as real to me as anything else can be. Have you had experiences of your own?
Little ones, yes. I've had little experiences. For example, one that's in my book is I was in the Concord State Library doing genealogy, and I was trying to find the connection between my grandfather, who was a revolutionary soldier captain, and his father. And I couldn't do it, and there was no outlets left. That was the final place. And there was three old men sitting in a corner talking, and when they were talking, all you could hear was mumbling. And then I heard one of their voices in my head, as loud as could be, said, "Check the land deeds." So I went to the Mormon church in Nashua and I ordered the land deeds for Pittsford, Vermont. And sure enough, there was a land deed that literally, which was really rare, actually said something to the effect that Mother Widow Mary Woodard selling to her son, Captain Amos Woodard. It was
Wow.
a relationship thing that was actually put in the paper, written on the paper. And if it hadn't been there, I would have had no proof that Mary was his mother and that Joshua was his father.
And there it all was.
Right. And that was an idea for me too, another way of writing things. It's like when there's something that happens and then there's something that proves it later, it's more genuine than when somebody just has a mental experience and there's no proof that it happened.
So true. I had an experience years ago. My husband was, I mean, this was 20 years ago or more, but my husband was looking to buy, he wanted to buy like a sports car, just kind of like a used one and just like as an extra. And so he was going around on the weekends to different places, and I wasn't interested. But on this one particular day, he's like, let's just take a drive. It's about an hour away. It's, up in the, where the woods are, and there's, it's a pretty drive. You want to go with me? I said, okay, I'll go with you. And we get there, and the woman comes out and she says, "This was my husband's car. He just died like 2 days ago. I haven't even buried him. I haven't even had a funeral yet." She goes, "And I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this." So I said to her, something like, "It's all going to work. It's going to be okay." I said, "It's going to be okay. I know for you that it will be okay." So the phone rings in her house, and she says, "Excuse me." She goes inside the house, and then she comes out, and she's got a look of shock on her face. She's like, "You're right." I said, "What do you mean I'm right?" She goes, "When I hung up the phone, I heard my husband say, 'It's going to be okay.'" And she said, "So now I know." And she was completely shocked. So I know I was used in that moment. I was brought in to be sort of a channel to bring this information out, And if she had just heard that from her husband, it may not have made any sense to her, but then it made total sense to her. So I was so grateful to be used at that moment for
Yes,
that.
that's nice.
Yeah, it was a really nice time. So you wrote about many different things in this book, Developing Your Spiritual Awareness. Are there any stories you want to share with us that are particularly interesting to you?
Well, one example of a case that was an example of somebody having an experience and then proving it was a woman that was with her sister, and they were trying to find their father's insurance document, and they couldn't find it. They finally gave up, and the woman was going to bed, and she was laying down, and she smelled her father's cigar smoke, which wasn't even regular anymore. And then she looked up, and there he was. He was down at the bottom of her room, and he said to her, he said, "It's in the coin savers. The insurance document is in the coin savers." So, like 2 days later, they went over, and sure enough, the insurance document was in the coin savers.
Wow.
And so that's one example. Another example was an older woman that was young when this happened to her. She went to the laundromat, and she asked her husband to go, and he wouldn't go because he had stuff to do. And she got to the laundromat, and she saw there was a man in there, and she said, "Oh, good, I'll be safe." Well, that wasn't true. She went in there, and he knocked her out cold, and he raped her, and her body went to the light, and she met somebody that she knew at the time, but she couldn't recall later. And they told her that she could pass, but she couldn't take her children, and she wouldn't be able to, she would have to come back and do it all over again. And because she couldn't take her children, she didn't want to go, and she decided she wanted to stay. And she was old when I interviewed her, and she had no desire to hurt herself anymore, where when she was younger, she did. And so that's a transformative experience, the idea that she wanted to live her life and wanted to stay with her children.
Often they say you have to go back because you have things, you're not supposed to be here. But I think what they do is they, near-death experiences, I think, is the way that the spirit world tries to educate us here on Earth, because people cross over and then they bring back. Like I had Nancy Dannison, who's been on my show a couple times. She had a near-death experience where she downloaded tremendous amount of wisdom. I mean, in seconds, really. And she came back and she shared that with me, which was really interesting because after I interviewed her, I sent her a copy of my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind. And I got an email from her shortly after that, and she said, "Oh my God, this was all verified for me on the other side. What you wrote about was all verified for me on the other side." She goes, "I heard all of this." So that was really, really interesting, you know. And I never think, when I write a book, I never think it's all me anyway. I know
Yeah.
it's coming through, right? I'm sure you feel the same way.
There's been moments in my life when I wrote my first book that I was writing it, and I, in the middle of the night, I'd wake up with an idea and I'd go down and put it into the book. It would be brilliant. And I knew that was probably connected to somebody.
Yes, when I'm writing and I have, like a block, I'll get up, and the minute I get up, it starts pouring in. And so there's been times where I've been in the shower and I had to get a piece of paper, and I'm writing with wet paper and pen because it's just flooding in, and it's not my thoughts. I know it's not. And then when you read back what you write, you're like, that's brilliant. I didn't write that. Right?
Well, you never know. It's, some of it can be you.
Some of it,
Some of
right.
it is probably connections.
Right, it could be. So.
I know that I had an experience where I had a person that I met at the post office that I had seen a few times in therapy, and when I met her at the post office, she asked me, "So did you decide on a Ridgeback or a German Shepherd?" And I said, "A German Shepherd." And she said, "2 years, you'll get it in 2 years." And I was, "Oh no, that's too long. I'm contacting the breeder right away." And I kept contacting the breeder, and I put money down on the dog on the day after Thanksgiving, and I got the dog 2 years later, the day after Thanksgiving.
I was told I was going to write a book when I had no intention of writing one. I'd already written one. I wasn't really interested in writing one. So, I mean,
But the point of that story was the old Romans and Greeks used to talk about how you never mistreat a person because you never know when you're talking to a god or a goddess. And I felt like that woman didn't tell me that because she knew that, but that came through her
Show her.
from something greater to give me a message that this is what was going to happen, and I couldn't change it.
Exactly. Right. That's how I felt about this story. I felt like I was being used as an, as a, I was brought there to be able to deliver a message. And it's really cool when, we're used that way, and it's
Right.
a wonderful thing. But that's so cool. 2 years later.
Yeah.
There to the
Yep,
day.
to the day. And it's like one of that was another example of how something happens and you can't change it. It just happens the way that it was said or the way that it you experienced it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
There are some things that are just carved in stone. They're just not. We have a lot of free will, but there are certain things that, like that just aren't going to happen until they're supposed to. And
Right.
that really, I think that's an important philosophy to grasp and to understand and to believe in, really, because often we get stuck in areas that where we want something to happen, and we try to force it to happen, and we get very frustrated when it doesn't happen. When in fact it will happen, but it will happen when the timing is right for it, not when we think that it should happen.
Right, and
I'm
then
sure you agree.
some people will unfortunately say things they shouldn't say, and they won't come true, and that kind of wrecks them, but they didn't realize this was their downfall. This was what was going to put them in their place,
Oh,
saying something they shouldn't say.
wow, interesting. I never
Yeah,
thought about that.
there was someone famous that did that, and I remember talking about how the next war back in the 80s was going to be the World War III, and it never happened because it wasn't supposed to.
Wasn't supposed to. There are, you talk about 12 key findings that are a common thread of the supernatural experience individuals are reporting on a historical level. What are they?
Well, some of them are things like it can happen to anyone at any time, anywhere, any age, any culture, any background, any religion. Some of the things people want to do is they want to connect to somebody that has had an experience like them, or if they've never had an experience, they want to be able to have one. And so there's those aspects. There's the fear that they're going to be called crazy, that someone's going to think they're crazy or they're nuts because they said this thing. And that's not necessarily true.
No, it's not.
Some people will, but other people will acknowledge it, especially when it's true, something that happens that's like real.
Before I did started doing this show, and we talked a little bit about before we went on air, we talked a little bit about how we both had this curiosity for a very long time. And I had no outlet for it until I started to do this show. And then I started getting pitches from all different things about supernatural. And I got so much verification and realized that there are so many people in the world that do believe this. It's just very hard for them to come together as a group. Most of the time, they're isolated experiences and they have a very difficult time sharing them with others. But
Yeah,
there.
it's sort of like, when we didn't have video cameras and we didn't have cameras, and it was before that time, and somebody up north said, "Well, I went up north, it snowed." And this person down south never been saw snow in their life. They have to either believe that they saw it or they have to deny it and say, "Well, no, I've never seen it. That can't be true."
True.
But now we can see some things that have happened and experience them without being there. And that's like makes things more, opens us up to more.
Exactly. There's so much research and definitive research on the fact that we are, this dimension is just what it is, it's this dimension, but that it is not really the only thing that's out there, and that there's so much more beyond this physical world that we can't see, we don't understand. And well, quantum physics explains a lot of that. And but then there's been researchers like Raymond Moody who have done extensive near-death experience research and can absolutely say that there is life after death. I mean, there's absolutely evidence of that. And in so many other ways, it's been shown and proven. You say that developing your supernatural awareness is connecting to an interactive universe. Okay, so I kind of said a little bit about that, but how do you define an interactive universe?
Well, the idea is that we can interact with other things, beings, spirits, things we're not even aware of that exist. And some of the examples are in my book. There's a woman that was working in a healthcare facility and saw a blobby black thing that was on the ceiling that moved around. And there's people that saw UFOs and things like that. And then there's people that had spirits come to them and communicate with them. So I believe there's more, just like you're saying, there's more to the universe than we realize. But all I could do was present what was given to me. I couldn't present more because that would be a different type of book.
Absolutely. Right. So this book is based on what others have experienced and shared with you, or what you've
Yes.
experienced, and and want to share
Well,
with us?
when I finalize each case, I add stuff, but I stay very close to what they're saying. For example, if somebody was driving alone, I ask them, "Well, so you were driving alone. Can you say more about that?" Yeah, there was no one else in the car, so that's important versus having someone else there in the vehicle with them. You know, little things like that. But I say it in a way that sticks with what they're talking about. I don't judge it and put labels on things that shouldn't be there.
Gotcha.
You know, so unfortunately, sometimes people do that. They try to label things and talk about things in ways that go beyond what the person was expressing. Not that we can't do that at times, you know, and do it accurately, but it's like some people just don't do it right.
It's true, because anybody can write a book nowadays. I mean,
yes,
anybody.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there are probably thousands of books that are published every single day because now.
Well, both of my books are published by legitimate publishers, and that was one of the things that I wanted to make, you know, sure, because it's like you can write your own book, and I've read a couple that were intriguing, but I've read a few that were horrific. They shouldn't have been written.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Mind, Body, and Spirit. What are they called? The sixth edition? What's the name of your publisher?
The sixth.
Six books. Oh. Yeah, six books. Okay. Yeah. And I get a lot of recommendations from this particular publisher because I love this topic. And he
yes,
handles this
and
topic.
That, and he does too.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
And I love it. So that's how we connected.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love it too. When you say that the universe is alive with invisible beings, how far does that go in your mind? Like, invisible beings of what type?
Well, it could be anything. It's, you know, I can't put a limit on it, but I can only express what the people told me.
Okay.
You know, so it's like there was a person that had a blob appear to him, and it kind of synced with him. He communicated with it, and it responded.
Yeah, I've used a paranormal team several times in businesses that I've had. So my husband and I used to own Massage Envies. We had two of them. Somehow they're portals or draws for spirits to get stuck. So we had several occasions where spirits would get stuck in our clinics. Some were malevolent, some were benevolent. But the malevolent ones terrorized my employees.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. And, excuse me, there was one in particular. One of our therapists was was very sensitive. And she would always tell me, "Randy, I'm getting the creeps in this room. There's something here with me. There's something here with me." But there was one particular room where at night, my staff, when they went to empty the garbage and clean the rooms and everything like that, this one room nobody wanted to go into because they were saying there's this tall, dark shadow on the wall. So I, you know, kept, I was stayed aware of this information, but then one day, one of my employees, who this guy was a military guy, he was as straightforward as you could get. Okay, he was No drama. He was sitting there with all these women who were drama around. He was no drama. And he was a Catholic guy. So he comes running out of the bathroom and he barely got his pants zipped, okay? And he goes, "Randy, I was just in the bathroom. Something scratched me up my arm." He shows me. Big scratch all the way up his arm, like bloody scratch. Wow, this is really weird. Okay, so I'm starting to put this together. And so my assistant manager at the time, she's like, "Sometimes these things show up on camera, so let's go see." So she goes, "I'm going to go into the bathroom where he was, and I'm going to take some pictures and see if we see anything." So she comes back, and we look at the picture, no orb, no light, no nothing. And then we're talking, and she glances down again at the same picture, and she goes, "Oh my God, there's something there now." It wasn't there at first. And then we were able to see the energy, the orb, whatever it was that was there. So I had another employee come in and tell us that her husband asked her how she got all these scratches on her back. So this was all happening at the same time. So I called in the paranormal team of Broward County, had them come in, long after everybody was gone, and they brought in other equipment, and it's very interesting. They have so many different ways of connecting with spirits and letting you know that they're actually there. And they were able to identify the spirit as really a bad guy, and they had to sort of usher him out. But and he gave a name and everything like that. So his intentions were not good. He was bad. But I had other people, other spirits that came that just were stuck. They couldn't cross over for whatever reason. One woman, she couldn't cross over because her brother was blind and she had been his caretaker, and then she was murdered and she couldn't leave because she kept thinking he was long gone by this time. But our business was in a strip shopping center with multiple stores, okay? Why did they come into my store? Because they know I'm going to do something about this, right? They know that, I mean, how many CVS owners are they going to bring in the paranormal team? I don't think so. So, you know what I'm saying? So I had to do this a couple of different times. It was very interesting to me. It doesn't scare me at all, but it happens. It really does happen.
Yes, things do happen.
They really do happen. There are spirits. Some are good, some are not good. Have you had experiences or heard of experiences with dark energies?
I had a couple of people in the book actually talk about being like molested kind of by a spirit. You know, kind of talked about that a little bit. And that would be the dark side, I think, you know, that kind of thing
Oh,
where
sure.
the being tried to touch them in different ways.
Did they see the being or they just felt it?
They just felt it. Two different people.
That's really scary. And then there's the,
The incredible stories, like the father who came and told them where the insurance document was. You know, there's those stories that just let you realize that there's good things happening in the world. And he had just passed, and he said, "I don't really know how it works over here, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know. They let me come, apparently, but I don't know all the rules, so."
Exactly. So he came very quickly. Came very quickly. A lot of times when they come through, their personalities show. And I actually asked the medium I had on last week. I said, do they take their personalities with them into the spirit world? Does their soul continue this personality on some level? And she said, well, In order for them to come here and communicate with us, they have to lower their vibration. So basically, they're coming back into our dimension, in a sense. We have to raise ours, they have to lower theirs. She says, so when they come back into this dimension, the personality is there in this dimension, which is really kind of interesting. I've heard different things, but I definitely have seen the personalities come through in readings that I've had. That's have you ever good. Have you ever had a reading with a medium before?
Yes, I've done a lot of different explorations, and yes, I've had things like that. Sometimes I notice that they're just saying what you think, and sometimes they're better than that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
I remember a woman that I went to see that used cards, and she said to me that my girlfriend, there was horses around her. And I said, no, she doesn't have horses. There's no horses. And so I went home and I told my girlfriend, I said, you know, she said you had horses. Oh, my father used to have a horse farm. I just never told you about that.
Oh, my gosh.
And she had told me something else, too, and they were both through. It was very personal. They were both through. And so I went back to see her, like try to see her. I knocked on the door about 6 months later or a year later, and the husband answered the door, and he said, she's passed. She died. I can't help you there.
Wow.
But she was very gifted. I was sure of that. Mm-hmm. And at one point she looked at me and she said, you see that? You can see that? And I said, yes, I can see that. And she said, I only use these cards because people get scared if I talk without the cards.
Really?
So she used the cards as a way to feel, make people feel safer about where
she was. Are they tarot cards?
Yeah. Okay. They were regular cards. Regular,
oh, regular cards. Okay.
Regular playing cards instead of tarot.
Interesting. Interesting. When I had a reading one time, she said, there's a grandmotherly figure coming through, and she's showing me pearls. She's like, who would that be? Well, I thought about my grandmothers, and they were all, none of them were wealthy. None of them had jewels. Pearls would not have been anything that either one of them would have had. And I said, I just really don't know who that is. I hung up the phone and I went, oh my God, my husband's grandmother's name was Pearl. She was on the other side.
Well, I had a little girl in my book that, in my book, this Developing Your Supernatural Awareness, she said that she saw her grandmother. She was talking to her grandmother. So the mother went and got pictures of both grandmothers and said, which one is it? And she said, it's neither one. And then months later, they were at the uncle's house, and the uncle had pictures of the great-grandparents. And the little girl went over and said, that's grandma. And it was great-grandma.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible. I love this stuff. It just gives us so much hope, you know, that there's so much more than what we know in our little limited, physical, heavy 3D world.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a very dense place, and it's nice to know that it's not like this. That we're not going to be in this forever. That there are so many other things that we can, you know, experience in our soul's journey. What about ETs and things like that? Did you do any, hear any stories about that?
I had one story that I didn't put in the book itself, the story, but I mentioned it. And it was a woman that she was taken from a playground where she was with children and the principal and other adults. And And when I, and she also asked me to also do a hypnosis session with her. So I tried to get her to step out of her space and expand and look down. And she said, they won't let me.
You know, I've had.
But she had reacted very, very much. When she went home, she was upset. She kept tying her shoes and kept doing things that were showing that she was upset about the experience. And then later she came to understand it and realize it was a gift.
Mm. Wow. Did she experience anything physical, any physical changes to her body that she mentioned?
Not necessarily. I have a journal article that's about that. Mm-hmm. And I had her experience in the journal article in detail.
Mm-hmm. I had one of my first guests that I ever had on this show many, many years ago was Chad Meek, who grew up around Giant Rock in the Mojave Desert. And his uncle was one of the first, I don't know, he used to go on all the talk shows and everything and talk about, he had experiences with UFOs, and he would talk about that. And George Von something, I can't remember what his last name is, but my client as a child was abducted many times, and he really had a hard time. You know, as an adult, it was really messed up from all the abductions that had happened to him. So listen, you know, only he knows. He's the only one that experienced it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He can share, but that's from his perspective.
From his perspective, yeah. And he really shared a lot. He actually wrote a book. He was trying to get a feature film made, but you know, I don't know if he ever got the funding for that. I don't believe it ever happened. But there was a lot of activity in the Mojave Desert during those, I think it was in the 50s.
That was around the time of the Arizona, the Area 51 also, right?
Yes. Yes, in the 50s. There was a lot of activity. So this is another controversial subject, you know? Listeners,
yes. Yes.
Some of you believe, some of you don't believe. That's completely up to you. None
and I've seen I've seen people that have sworn that they saw bodies. They saw alien bodies.
Wow.
They were military people on their deathbeds. You know, on TV, and they swore that they saw an alien body.
You know, you were talking about past life regression hypnosis, and I've tried it a few times. I'm not allowed to go into it.
Well, you know, the thing is, it takes time. I don't think it happens automatically. I think it's like something that you have to work through your fears and fantasies and all those different things that interfere with the truth to get to the truth. And then when you get to the truth, it will be self-evident. You can't deny it, but it's not going to be something that happens instantly. I think sometimes people think that. I remember being medium was doing a meeting at a bookstore, and I went, and I was one of the few guys. There was a ton of women, and this one woman said, "Oh, I'm Cleopatra." I was Cleopatra. And he looked at her and he said, "I've met 500 Cleopatras." But that guy there, and he was pointing at me, he was a white priest in Egypt.
Wow. Cute.
And I was like,
"You were
yeah.
a white priest."
And then I looked at him and I was like thinking, well, I'm just barely getting by trying to go to school. How can that be?
That's funny.
You know, but I respected him. He seemed to speak the truth. And later I had an experience that kind of demonstrated that. It was like I was in a cave, and I was at a girlfriend's, and I was sleeping on her couch, and I was in a cave, and I woke up three times. They were trying to behead me.
Oh my gosh. I've been told that I was hung many times because I was a healer and I was not understood throughout the journey. Yeah.
Yeah, I had that happen to me once too, where somebody said that I was killed a number of times because of what I knew.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, Brian Weiss, the psychologist that really brought forward past lives and past life regression, and he wrote the famous book, Many Lives, Many Masters.
Yes, I read that.
Yeah. So I have a CD of his that helps you to be able to get into the mindset of past life regression. And I have done that hundreds of times. I don't go there.
You know, I have a CD in my first book, which is Perceptual Hypnosis, which you might want to get the CD because it helps. It's a self-hypnosis meditation exercise. It's over 50 minutes. And it just like helps you get to the place you need to be to do what you need to do.
Right, because in a regression, they go very quickly. You're from here, and then you're in the embryo, and then you're, you know, and they move very quickly through the progress of getting you to that place. And maybe I needed more time. I don't know, like you said. So how
you needed something.
I needed something. I needed, you know, I did have a vision. I did have a vision, but I didn't know if I was making it up. I still remember what the vision is, so it probably, you know, probably I had a
vision. Visions are more real, mm-hmm. depending on the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like some people, mm-hmm. I've met psychotic people, they're not having real experiences. They're making stuff up. But then there's people that don't make stuff up, and there's a big difference between the two. You know, when you make stuff up, it's all over the place and it's not consistent and it's not real. But when you see something that's real, it would be like being behind my garage and saying there's a mountain lion there and walking out to your car and the mountain lion walks around the side of the building. That's a different feeling, a totally different experience than a fear that never happens.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, this felt very real because I had suspected that there was some very serious abuse of me in previous lives, and sexual abuse, I think. And in this experience, I was my father. He was chasing me around the house. It was old, you know, like it was. I was on the dock. I was wearing one of these old long dresses, you know, and there were boats out there, and I was just kind of hanging out. And then I'm in the house, and I'm running from him. So that's the only thing that I got in touch with. Didn't really help me that much because didn't tell me anything I didn't already think happened. yeah. So you wrote perceptual hypnosis. What is perceptual hypnosis?
It's a phenomenological explanation of hypnosis, which kind of I wrote that book, unfortunately, for both audiences, clinicians and people in general, so it's kind of a mix of both. That's probably not the way to write a book. I sold a number of copies. It sold well, but it could have been better if I had stuck with one population.
Interesting.
And so in this book, I stuck with the public to give the people that have experiences focused on them.
Mm-hmm. Children are much more connected. They don't lose that thread so quickly, right? Have you had experiences or talked to children that have gone?
Yes, I have, but not as many children as I have adults, because children, their parents have to come and their parents have to consent to give them permission to talk about an experience. But I've had a couple of kids that told me their experiences.
Were they under the age of 6 or over?
Over 6.
Okay. Because under the age of 6, a lot of kids have supernatural experiences and it goes away when they get into the real world where they're it's the, you know, they go to school and they're taught certain things and they lose that.
Yes, it's there was a teacher in Torrington, Connecticut, or somewhere in that area, that wrote a book on all the experiences that his kids told him about, and he said as they got older, they started to lose and forget the experiences. They didn't even remember them.
They don't. My daughter had, she had invisible friends when she was, you know, 2, 3, up until the time she went to school. And they had names. There were two of them. It was a female and a male. She called them Winnie and Bobbits. Don't know what they were. But anyway, they went with her everywhere, and they were as real as could have been. Okay. I had no doubt that she was seeing something. She'd push them on the swing. She'd teach them school. I mean, they were with her. Today, she's 38. No recollection. She can't remember that at all. And to me, I remember every bit of it because I was just mesmerized by the experience. I knew she was communicating with something.
That's good.
Yep.
That's a gift.
Yeah, it's wonderful. She also used to be able to write. She could write, take two hands and write the same thing by mirror. Like she could write the same words and mirror them with both of her hands. And she got to school.
They have a book. They had a book out that I got once and used, and it was like writing with your regular hand and writing with your other hand. Mm-hmm. And at first, I couldn't write with my other hand. And then when I went back and did it again another time, I was actually doing much better.
Actually, when you're doing inner child work, that's one of the things that they have you do, you know, to write with your opposite. You write with your dominant hand and the child is the opposite, is the non-dominant hand or something like that. She would write mirror images at the same time. It was crazy.
Wow.
It's crazy. I don't know how she did it. When she got to school, she lost that ability. So, you know, I don't know, you know, mainstream education, I don't know. It takes away a lot of their natural abilities. Maybe they.
Well, I worked with kids and teenagers up until the pandemic, and then I stopped. And I noticed that some kids are open to these experiences, and you can't take it away from them. But other kids conform to the reality of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. My son had a lot of strange things that he would tell me. We went to, there was this very old building in Baltimore, and it was converted into a very high-end restaurant called the Milton Inn. But I think John Wilkes Booth had been a student there many years ago. It used to be a boys' school. And my son was 4 years old, and we went there for an occasion. And the restrooms were upstairs, and I'm taking him by the hand, and he's going, I've been here before. I know where that is. I know where that is. I know where that is. And, you know, the Milton Inn was known, when they closed for the evening, it was known that lights would go on in the attic. They had spirits there. My son remembered that, yeah.
You know, the funny thing is... Booth that killed President Lincoln. Ulysses S. Grant was supposed to be, he was a relative of mine. He was supposed to be sitting with Abraham Lincoln, but his wife frantically wrote 5 messages to him saying, we need to leave. We need to go home now. We need to get out of here. We need to be away from here. And he eventually gave in to her and left. But if he hadn't left, he could have died too. And then he
Amazing.
Wouldn't have been president.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah. There's so many things, you know, that are just unexplained. And so, you know, we can only explain them by saying there's just things we don't understand that are happening.
Right.
You know, we may never be able to fully understand how they're happening, but they are absolutely happening. And I believe they happen to everybody. If you
Yes,
pay attention.
yes, just some people aren't able to pay attention. It's sort of like The Matrix, the first movie with Keanu Reeves. He sees the black cat, and then he sees it again, and he goes, "Deja vu," and Trinity goes, "What? Deja vu? I saw a cat, and then I saw it again, do the same thing. They changed something." And if he hadn't said that, nobody would have known what was going on.
Interesting.
But it was nice to see that kind of portrayed in a movie, you know, like an idea.
So I know doing these shows, and I'm sure it's the same with you with writing the book. It really, making these things known and acceptable takes a lot of fear out of living. Do you think, don't you think?
Yes, it helps. It helps people.
Have you ever had a client or a patient come in that was having schizophrenic or hearing voices or things like that, where you suspected it could be supernatural?
Not necessarily. Usually the people that are psychotic, I'm not. I know that in other countries they see that as just the dark side of the light side. There are other countries that have what they say better spiritual ways of handling these circumstances than we do. But I'm not trained in that really well. So I do talk to people. So from time to time, I'll have a patient that's schizophrenic, but not very often.
Yeah.
And I have had psychotic people that have claimed that they had spiritual experiences, but they weren't spiritual experiences.
Oh, really?
They were psychotic. They
were
truly psychotic. Yeah.
Can somebody have a psychotic episode in their 40s when they've never had one before?
Yes.
Brought on by some kind of shocking thing or stressful event? Is that what happens?
Yes. Well, it depends on the person, but it's like it's not schizophrenia. Schizophrenia usually starts in the teenage years, or in a real bad case, it would start younger, but it doesn't necessarily happen just out of the blue for no reason. But some of the other experiences, like brief psychotic disorder, things like that, can happen at those moments, but it's not something that, you know, I work a lot with. It's like, you know, I'm not an expert in those areas.
Because I had a client that I was working with for narcissistic abuse, and he witnessed something, or so he thought. I'm not really sure if he did. He was about 42, and he had a full-blown psychotic break. Paranoia, seeing things, hearing the walls whisper, crazy stuff like that. And I said to him, you know, I can't really see you till you see, you know, a specialist and figure out what this is, because, you know, he was swearing it was real. And he had never had anything like that before. So I wasn't really sure what I was dealing with. I said, I'm not the professional for you. You need to find somebody else. But it was very bizarre, you know. It just came from nowhere. It wasn't the person. Wasn't the person I knew. He changed very rapidly.
Right. There are those experiences that happen like that.
Okay.
And you did the right thing by referring them to somebody that knew how to handle those things.
Mm-hmm. I said, I won't. Yeah. You know, he's like, please, please let me. And this is above my pay grade. I don't understand this. And when you get a diagnosis and you come back to me with the diagnosis and you tell me what is going on, maybe we can chat again. But you need to be evaluated. It was getting just really crazy.
Well, one of the things you could have done, if you're a therapist yourself, is you could have referred them for testing And then based on the testing with the treatment recommendations, you could have continued.
But I'm not a therapist. I'm a coach, so couldn't
do it. Oh, yeah, that's different. Then they needed a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he needed somebody who could evaluate him and figure out exactly what's going on, take apart what's, you know, what was real from what was illusion and fantasy and all of that. But so do you see a connection between psychology, the fields of psychology, and the supernatural, spiritual?
Yes, I do. I see it as very connected. It's like I remember having a professor, which I put in this book, in the super developing your supernatural awareness. I put it in that book. The idea that he talked about how there's cognitive behavioral, that's 1D. There's past life stuff, that's Freudian, and there's spiritual stuff, which is Jung. When they're all in alignment, that's truth. When they're in disagreement, somebody's wrong.
Wow.
And he wouldn't always say who it was, because it didn't necessarily mean it was the higher or the lower.
Wow.
It could be anything. And I totally agree with that, because I think they all work together. They should all work together. They shouldn't be in conflict.
Wow, that is so fascinating. And it really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's just some people won't accept it. And they think their way is the only way. And mm-hmm. So they're cognitive behavioral, and they don't do any dynamic. They don't do any spiritual. And those can't be connected to this that's just here, this now. And then there's some people that are in the past, and they think the past affects the present, and they don't see the value of the cognitive behavioral skills, which there's a lot of value to them. And I use all different ways when it, whatever works for the person, I help mm-hmm. them with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The work that I do with narcissistic abuse, most people have gone to traditional therapists and really got worse because cognitive behavioral therapy was used on them, and they were meant to have some understanding of their part in this kind of abuse, when in fact they had no part. And it's very hard for people who go through this to be told.
Well, see, that's a judgment too. They're making a judgment in the idea that it's like those skills can help. Staying in the present in a positive way can be very helpful, mm-hmm. but it's got to be done right and in order to make things work for that person. Otherwise, it's not going to work, and it's not a positive thing.
And it makes it worse. It worse, because now a professional is saying, well, you have some role in this, when the person is already feeling very guilty about making this judgment about a family member or something. They're already feeling guilty about that. And now they're told that, you have some part in this. What is your part? And, It's an area.
There's different people in the field, and some people are open and some people aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be very experienced. You have to, so many therapists nowadays are just cognitive behavioral therapists. This is what they're trained in, and this is what they use for everything. And I think the public needs to understand that they're not necessarily going to be helpful in every area. Talk about what were some of the other kinds of psychology theories, like the dynamic theory, psychodynamic. Tell us about some of the other ways that you...
Well, there's the phenomenological and the humanistic, which I kind of lean toward, and they're not necessarily a theory like other theories. They're more like being realistic with that person, keeping things simple. I remember when I was in school in Georgia, they were talking about codependency, and they said, well, it's not codependency if both people want to do it. That's codependency when somebody doesn't want it. So, and I kind of understand that. It's like you're judging. You're making a judgment. If two people want to be totally connected, there's nothing wrong with that. But if one person doesn't and the other person does, then there's a problem.
Right.
And so some of the stuff is just simplifying things so they're easier to understand. You know, and when that conflict is there, then people need to work with that. You know,
exactly. And that's the difference between somebody who's very experienced and very and having that range of understanding.
Yes.
So that you can deal with each person on an individual basis, because this is just this area is a very it's there's well there's no training for what happens to a victim of narcissistic abuse. There's no training. I mean, therapists like you that have experienced many things can see the bigger picture and maybe look beyond.
I try to empower individuals to do what they need to do for them. Mm-hmm. And in that way, I help in those kind of cases because I'm empowering this person to do what's right for them.
Exactly. I find that allowing them to understand that they did not want this, they did not bring it on, which makes them a victim of a situation, it releases, it lifts a huge weight off their shoulders. I don't encourage a victimization stance, but I think, you know, when you are the subject of narcissistic abuse, you're told that everything is your fault. And you're brainwashed to believe that everything that goes wrong is your fault. So understanding that none of it was your fault and you didn't bring it on, it wasn't about you, and none of this.
Well, narcissistic people tend to idolize somebody when they like them and then devalue them when they're not in agreement with them. So if you want to go for chocolate chip ice cream and he wants vanilla ice cream, you can't have chocolate chip. You're mm-mm. supposed to have vanilla.
That's right. You're exactly right. So I deal with people in all from family narcissism to marriage and dating and other kinds of relationships. It's pretty devastating to people. Pretty devastating, but I know how to do it. This is the area I know how to do. I don't have a degree. I'm not licensed, but I know how to do this. And I'm very effective in helping people overcome this quickly.
That's and move good. On.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the one, it's my niche. It's the thing I'm given to do in this world, I guess. I don't know. It's not an easy thing. But so time is running out. Is there anything else that you wanted to share that I didn't bring up? We've talked about a lot.
I think we covered most of it. You know, there was the different chapters are in each book are based on different themes, and I put the stories in based on the chapters. So it's like out of the blue, first thought that comes to your mind, you know, experiencing feelings and thoughts is one way that sometimes people become more reality-based. I had a woman in my book that she'd have tingling in her body when she experienced her grandmother.
Oh.
And it made a lot of sense, you know. And I had another person that told me a story about how when she met her great aunt and uncle, she felt them, and when they passed and they showed up in her place, she felt them. Mm-hmm. It was the same feeling, and that made a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. It's energetic, so you're going to feel it,
right?
If you're in touch,
so those things make sense to me. Mm-hmm. They're not always well understood.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, people will say, I just feel the spirit, I just feel the energy of my father or my mother or whatever, my friend. I just feel that energy. It's them. I know it's them. So, well, anyway, so your book, we can get this wherever books are sold, I would imagine.
Yes. Yep.
Amazon or whatever.
Amazon, Barnes and Noble.
And are you still seeing patients?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you located?
In New Hampshire.
All right. Do you do virtual visits as well, or just office in office?
Just in office,
Okay.
mostly.
Okay. Do you have a website?
Woodard Hypnosis and Psychotherapy.org.
Woodard, Woodard, Hypnosis and Psychotherapy
Dot org.
dot org. Okay, great. All right. Well, it's so great to meet you. I really enjoyed this. This was a fun conversation.
Thank
Important.
you. Maybe we can do it again sometime.
Yeah. I mean, this it's important to share these kind of things so that people don't feel so odd. Because a lot of people are judgy about other people's experience. And often they've had these experiences themselves. They just don't want to believe it.
Right, that's
So,
true.
anyway, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so
You
much.
also. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.